Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Top Flight Pod. You know what it is. You know what we're here to do. Back in studio today, beautiful Austin, Texas. I'm with the boys. We got B to my left. We got Bali here to my right. Been waiting for a long time to say that. On the ones and twos, today we have my G Neff. We also have the amazing, very intelligent Alex, football critic. Shout out to him. He is here with us in the studio. But I want to start off with the two guys who we haven't heard from in a long time. I'm going to start off with my G B. How are you doing today, mate?
I'm doing great, man. We're back. We're back in studio. We're back on camera. My boy Bali's here.
Hey, you know, yeah. It's
We're
been
all
a while.
Here. Took a bit of a hiatus, mate. A bit of a hiatus. Took care of some stuff. But luckily, we got Neff and FC Alex here to hold it down while we were gone. Bro, big thanks, big hugs to y'all for stepping in and giving us a hand while me and Bali were gone. And yeah, I mean, excited to be back. I feel fresh. I feel ready to go, man. Let's get it.
And also, shout out to everybody that was sending us messages asking for you guys. You know, that there was like at least five or six people that hit me up. It's like, hey, how's B? How are Bali? Are they good? Are they going to come back? And I was like, don't worry about it. They're just taking a break. They'll be back 100%. Now, yeah. Bali, how are you doing, mate? A lot of people have been asking about you to come back on the pod.
I think I'm very, very emotional. Honestly, I'm very, very emotional just being here with the team. You know, it just feels good. It feels good to be back home. It's been a long break. You know, I think last season it was just too much to take, honestly.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, and I think at the end.
Yeah, I think we needed a little break, man. And honestly, now I feel like it should have been a little bit longer because the way they were looking, it's not looking good.
Now, before we get into that exactly, obviously the game is what we're here to talk about. Boys, if you want to say what's up to the listeners out there, but of course, shout out to the Patreon members, everybody that's on Discord. You know, now that we got the studio set in stone, more content is going to be rolling out for everybody, the faithful Patreon members. So
yeah,
big shouts out to them.
I got to take on that. Look, apart from just supporting us and joining our Patreon, I mean, it's amazing. We took a bit of a hiatus. We kind of been holding it down, but we're back, we're fresh, we're ready to go, and, you know, expect some great things coming, not only for just the fans that follow us on YouTube everywhere, but especially for our Patreon members, so we're very grateful for y'all's support.
Neff, Alex, you want to say anything to the listeners before we get into it?
I just want to thank you. Thank you guys for...
Get closer to the mic.
Thank you for having us and, you know, being able to take part of this. It's also something very interesting, a great project for us, so thank you.
Alex.
Looking fresh too, Neff, with that vintage Madrid.
You really are, dude.
He's always, bro. This guy wears Real Madrid gear to the stadium all the time. I was about to snitch on him last game because he was in the supporter section with different team colors.
Low key bothers me, bro.
He was with me, so he's good. Alex, press box himself.
My G.
First of all, how is it seeing the game from the press box?
Oh, I gotta say it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing because I get to see everything. I get to see details that maybe on TV they're not shown. And I get to see things that otherwise being in the supporter section, you know, with the party and all, I wouldn't be able to pay attention to. So analyzing the game from up there is just great.
My G. So we got Neff. We got football critic in the building. Of course, like we said, we heard from Bali. We heard
We're
from
back.
B. So, gentlemen, it's time to get into the show.
Oh, boy.
There is a lot of things to talk about for Austin FC, guys. You know, the news has always been circulating around this club. We could never have a chill week. You know, we had Will Bruin come out with the tweet. We had Drewcy Dior come out with some interesting quotes. And it's not even just about stuff that players are saying. We get absolutely blindsided by a transfer for Mr. Valentin Noel to the Las Vegas Lights. And that's where I want to start off today's show. Neff, if you could please pull up the Instagram page for the We're Austin TV post of the Valentin Noel information. That's where I want to start off tonight because Valentin Noel was transferred to the Las Vegas Lights, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there it is right there. Let's see, click that out. It says, Austin FC 2 has announced the transfer of Valentin Noel to USL side Las Vegas Lights FC. The deal includes Austin holding a 40% sell-on clause of future transfers. Now, Tom Bogert later came out, and he said that the 40% was going to be added on. That was his bit of information. And it was an undisclosed fee. We don't know exactly how much the USL side paid for Valentin Noel, but what we do know is that the ownership of the USL side, Las Vegas Lights, had to make a significant investment to obtain the services of Valentin Noel. Now, this was something that really shook the entire fan base. We know how much this kid, this young man meant to FCito, to the fan base also, that really saw him grow that year that they went to Palmer Field and saw them week in and week out, because that stadium was so intimate. You could see the players' facial expressions from wherever you were sitting. That's how close they got sometimes, right?
You could hear the banter.
You could hear the banter, right? The players would also get into it.
Yeah.
So it definitely hurts to see this guy go. But there's also people saying, hold on, there's a 40% sell-on clause here. And it's not just all bad news. There could be some good news that comes from this transfer after a while. But I want to get, B, your take on this transfer. Valentin Noel goes to the Las Vegas Lights. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and another note of that, not only did he just go to the club, but he scored a goal already.
Yes.
I mean, he did. And a banger of a goal, too. A lot of fans were upset because they did want to see this guy in the first team. And to be honest, I would have loved for him to stay as well. It seems like Rodo is trying to get as much value as he can. He's searching where he can make some money, and Valentin Noel seems to be, you know, another little boost to the pot of money that Rodo has. Look, out of all the FC Top players last season, you know, championship winning team, I actually valued him as like one of the top players that could potentially be in the first team. He cemented himself scoring the winner in the final against Columbus Crew, giving Austin the title. So props to him. He's always going to be cemented because of that moment. And, you know, wish him luck. And it is what it is. I mean, I would have loved for him to stay. But
now, Nev, maybe another side of the coin to this conversation. I want to get your take on this. Valentin Noel transferred to USL side Las Vegas Lights. Now, it is important to note, and Nev, this is something that you brought up. This is a feeder team to a big club in MLS. So maybe start your take there.
Yeah, no. So Las Vegas is known to actually be able to send teams to LAFC.
Get a little closer to the mic, Nef, if you can. There you go.
Yeah, so LAFC, Valentin Noel has the quality to play in MLS, which is why it's such a bummer that he was let go to Las Vegas, you know, the way that he has.
Especially
in the state that this club is at right now, because this club could definitely use a player like him.
For sure.
He's the closest thing in terms of football.
As a 10 is what you're saying.
As a 10 to Drewsy that you have. Because there's not an Owen or even Danny that gets close to that position.
We do have to point out, Nef, though, that the jump is big from MLS Next Pro to MLS. And maybe USL fits him well right now.
Could be the case. However, with the numbers that Valentin has and with the squad depth that you have at the moment, you really, why wouldn't you give him a shot?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, that's the thing, because you saw that Wolf had to change his whole dynamic in this game because he doesn't have that 10, and he had to park and abandon his system because he doesn't have a 10 that he trusts, and he just let a perfectly good one go.
Well, my GNF there. Now, Valentin Noel looks like 6 goals, 4 assists in the MLS Next Pro for Austin FC 2. Now, Bali, before I get your opinion on what happened with Mr. Valentin Noel, some comments here from Twitter on the Western TV account. We have Designs by Mark. He says, great to see us getting rid of our young prospects. Long live the oldies. El Verde Rican says, MLS rules being the main culprit here. Noel required an international roster spot, which are not only worth $175,000 plus the open market, but are also needed in order for us to bring in high-quality reinforcements in the summer. So there's more to it. Victor Calzada says, relax, let Rodo cook. Ha, 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 ha. He's not even a cook himself. Texas Citizen, shout out to my G. He says, don't love this. Granted, he'd be wasted in our offense if we actually used him. Are we at least getting any money for this? So there is going to be a fee coming to Austin, you know, but fans are still hung up on the fact that we're letting go of our young prospect players. But fans also coming out and saying he's not that young. He's already 23, 24, 25, somewhere in that range. Right, Nef? He's 24?
Yeah,
24,
yeah.
Thank you. So, Bali, your take on this before we move on to the next topic.
Man, I feel the fan base. I think that he has great potential. He really does have great potential. And I think that the international spot was the issue at the end of the day. And Noel looks at it. I think another season in the Austin FC 2 is kind of a waste. Take the step up, go to a USL team, a good USL team. Mm. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if I see him in the MLS very, very soon.
Now, guys, before we go on to Danny Pereira, I just want to say this. Somebody very close to Valentin Noel reached out to Russian TV and said he had to leave. The road was blocked. Yeah. And we'll end the Valentin Noel segment with that, boys. All right, moving on to Danny Pereira, because there's some news there with him before we get into the Austin FC match. Got to talk about this, because Danny Pereira has been called up to the Venezuelan national team to face Italy in Miami and Guatemala in Houston for the upcoming FIFA dates this month. Now, Football Critic, I want to get your expertise on this, because you are a Danny Pereira guy. You know, you're the one that has broken big news about Danny Pereira in the past, and I'm sure there's going to be more here in the future. But where are you at with this? You know, you've been somebody that's been calling for Danny Pereira to join the Venezuela national team. We know that there's a problem there with the visa status and stuff, but it's pretty much almost done. What's your take on him facing against the Euro champs, Italy, and then Guatemala, Chapines? Shout out to them.
Well, you know, it's not really a surprise considering the path that Danny has had lately with La Vinotinto. He wasn't able to play with them outside of the U.S. before because of his status. However, well, for one, that got fixed.
For sure.
He's actually, like, the visa he got actually grants him a green card, but that's still up in the process. You know, legal, like, changing legal status takes a while. It's all a legal process from the U.S. department. So, but that's happening. But even then, it doesn't matter, because right now the friendlies are in the U.S. Copa America is going to be in the U.S.
Yep.
And then Danny has been leaving hints, you know, in several interviews for several sites that he, like, he's in touch, in constant communication with the La Vinotinto's coach and coaching staff. So it's not a surprise, really, that he was called up. What's interesting, though, about this call-up is that Danny's competition in midfield was Yangel Herrera, player for Girona, who is second in La Liga right now. And he just got injured. So the path for Danny to actually have a good performance or presentation against Italy, the European champions, seems to be opened. Yes, yeah. He's to be very open for him to actually show what he can do for his national team.
Now, question, boys, and I want to get your take on this. There's another side of this coin also. There's a whole nother way to look at this, because from Austin FC fan point of view, you're also hearing Danny Pereira, Italy, Guatemala, Miami, Houston. He's going to be gone for some time. Luckily for Austin FC fan, it's only going to be one game. You're going to play Orlando City in Orlando. They're not doing too hot to start off this season. They took a beating against Miami. I think they might have lost last night. I think Duncan McGuire is the only one. They lost 2-1, actually. Yeah, they lost 2-1. So Danny will be gone for at least one game for Austin FC. He didn't start against St. Louis. We had a plan without Danny Pereira. It could have been executed. We're going to talk about that here in a bit. But, B, your thoughts on Danny missing against Orlando because of this international duty?
Yeah, I mean, if he misses, I mean, look, we're going to need everybody that we have on the roster. We came in this season with a thin roster already.
For sure.
But I think, I mean, if you're being real, dude, if you were to tell me, hey, would you rather have Danny and then not him participate in this situation? Bro, go to Venezuela.
Go. Okay.
This is a big opportunity for him. Okay. This is the thing of dreams, bro. To represent your country against the European champions, like Alex said, a spot that's open for you to showcase your talent. I mean, this is great for him. I'm happy for him. I hope he does well, and I'm excited to see him. We're gonna be locked in to see the results on that, his performance, and we'll be covering that as well, of course. So happy for him, bro. Happy.
Now, these fans on social media commenting on this graphic for the on the topic, they sharing the same take you got, B. We have Juan Samarron. He's calling out Jorge. He says, but Jorge said that Venezuela doesn't. Jorge said that they don't have him for their plans of the Venezuelan team. El Bederiken says, these are key games to ensure he makes it onto the Copa America roster. Pedro says, eso, papá. And then Bengalov says, hell yeah, Danny is good. Just sucks his MLS coach isn't. But, Bali, anything you want to add on Danny Pereira? Because you of course, have been somebody that's been following this kid's career since he landed in Austin and went to the Fairmont for his first couple of hours here in Austin, Texas.
Of course.
We went out there, B and I, we met him, and we told him straight up, like, yo, there's this guy, Bali. He already knows how you play. He likes you a lot. And at that moment, Danny Pereira knew who Bali was, and now we see him. He's all grown up. He's going with his national team. Yeah. Thoughts on that, bro?
Yeah, and at that moment, you know, we knew who Danny Pereira was, you know, and now
nobody was really talking about Danny.
And now the whole world knows about Danny Pereira, you know, and man, I'm very proud of the kid, you know. I think his future is bright, and I think not only his future, but the whole Venezuela team's future, you know. I see Football Critic covering the team. To me, the players look better. And I'm excited for Venezuela and also for Danny. And I'm ready to see him play, and I'm ready for us, you know. It doesn't matter if Danny isn't there. You know, we have Valencia who can step in and perform for us.
And yeah. Another note on that, what a time to be called up in this Venezuela national team. Because if you look at it, if you really look at Venezuela, their history, it's their football history. It hasn't been.
Rankings. Go ahead. You're good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just right now, Venezuela is playing great. They're hot. They're on track to qualify for the World Cup. It's just everything's great. And what a moment for him to step up in the national team.
Nev, I think he's pulling up here the rankings for Venezuela and the CONMEBOL. I think they're in fourth. But Football Critic, give us your take on really just the Venezuela update, how they're doing in the qualification before we move on to the game.
Well, you know, the qualifiers stopped on December, and they won't resume until September of this year. So, you know, it's going to take a while, and Copa America is in the middle. So the question right now is not really about the qualifiers, but more on Copa America, right? Like how they're going to do.
For sure.
And to me, the most interesting part is how Danny's going to perform in these friendlies against Italy. Okay. Like for you, Bali, Danny's going to face your guy, Jorginho, from Arsenal.
Jorginho, yeah, dude.
Is he ready for that?
Is he ready for that? That's a question.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah, okay, right, now, okay, right, now, right, now, right. Now, what if Danny exposes Jorginho and he makes him look silly?
I doubt that. It could happen, but I doubt it, you know.
Alex.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, no, that's the question. I mean, because at the end of the day, Danny is still an MLS player, right?
For sure.
We know the level of the league. We don't want to hype it too much. And at the end of the day, like, Jorginho is playing, you know, at Arsenal. Barella is playing at Inter
Champions
Milan,
who are,
you know, destroying Serie A right now.
Yeah.
So you cannot expect, or I cannot expect, you know, a 23-year-old, you know, facing off for the first time, having a, you know, destroying that midfield.
Yeah.
But I do want to see what Danny can do at that level.
Agreed.
And I think that's what Austin FC fans would want to see from their own very player.
I agree, mate. Okay. Now, for the fans that are out there, if you want to catch those games, March 21st, Venezuela plays Italy in Miami at 4 p.m. I think that's Central or maybe Eastern. Just keep an eye out for that. And then a couple days later, March 24th, it'll be against Guatemala in Houston. It'll be at 5 p.m. Now, Guatemala, last time they played in Houston, bro, they packed that stadium.
Really?
Packed, bro, to the rim. I saw the videos like on Facebook and stuff. Dude, it was full of Guatemala fans. So I'm excited to see what the atmosphere looks like for that match, bro.
Same.
That's going to be exciting.
Same.
Good
honestly.
Game.
Hopefully.
They had a great showing in the Gold Cup. They went out to Jamaica, unfortunately, but yeah.
We have a homie that's from there, and he always likes to talk about soccer. And I mean, lately, they've been getting better. Their coach is Juan Luis El Flaco Tena.
Tena.
But all right, gentlemen, we need to move into the game. We're going to talk about now the Austin FC against St. Louis match. Now, that game ended last night. It was 2-2. Interesting match, to say the least, guys. We were there. Bali, you and I were watching it. Yeah. Neff was with us as well. Football Critic, we mentioned, was in the press box. B was working in the Level 1 field access, getting the photos, getting the shots of the players, and also uploading anything to the story, like of them warming up and stuff like that. He says that the ball didn't cross the line. You were right behind the goal.
Yeah.
It did. Neff is over here talking about, oh, they already drew the lines. It was in. Blah, blah. B was right behind it, mate. I trust this guy more than a league that doesn't have goal line technology right now.
To be fair,
but B has an agenda, bro.
Go ahead, man.
I didn't hear that, bro.
But, okay.
But look, to be fair, I wasn't in the most perfect of angles. I was slightly behind. But to me, I mean, look, the ball hit the post. Stuber actually hit it towards goal going in, but he managed to save it. To me, bro, the ball did not cross that line, bro. I think that was not a goal.
Now, 2-2 against St. Louis, y'all. We mentioned Julio Cascante getting the goal. Matt Hedges also, well, he was get the first one. But St. Louis really didn't let up. I want to get your overall thoughts, gentlemen, as we get into the topics of this match. We'll get into the lineup conversation. But, Bali, if we could please get your overall thoughts. Like I said, 2-2 at home. That's three games in for Austin FC. All the goals have been scored by center backs. We have yet to win a game at home. 2 points out of three where you could have had maybe six because two of those games were at home. What are your thoughts on the match?
To me, it was a great first half. Great first half. I think that, and I said it last week, my advice to Wolf was to drop some of these players. Some of these players don't deserve to start. And he did. You know, dropping Rigoni was a great choice.
That was a message.
A DP player.
DP.
On the bench. You know, but we played even better without him, which is shocking. But I think second half, we started to struggle. And I think going back to the back five, inviting that pressure eventually cost us the 2 points, and we let it slip. Like I said, we let it slip at the end.
2 points dropped for you.
2 points, 100% dropped. I think we had it in the bag, and it is what it is. We had to take it in the chin next week, Philly.
Another tough game.
Another tough team, and we pray that we find something.
Now, while we get B's overall thoughts on the match, Neff, if you could please pull up the results from the MLS, we could see what Philly did in their last match day. But B, it was postponed. You're right. It was postponed. Now, B, your overall thoughts on the match last night before we get into some deeper topics.
I mean, the question, I guess, going in is Seba ready? Is Seba back? And no, he was on the bench, but, you know, it came out after the game that there was no intention for him to play. He was just on the bench. He wanted to be a part of the bench, so he was there. And no, he's not back. And I think Wolf is still, I think this club is still trying to deal with that. I think they're trying to compensate for not having him in the team.
Oh, 100%, 100%.
And I think the game plan going into this game was to be solid defensively, just try to, which is, I guess, compensate for not having Drusy Rubio stepping in and playing in that role. And I think, bro, the first half was probably the best football that we've seen this season.
This season, 100%, I agree.
And I think that the game plan that Wolf had, that the players scoring off corners, I think it was all going to perfection, in my opinion. And then towards the end, to just let it slip, it's very, very disappointing.
Now, two things before we get into the lineup. Neff already has that ready for us at the match ratings. You said two very interesting things. We'll talk about Drusy, and also, Neff, I want to get you in on this topic about the set pieces, which we were talking about before the ball was even kicked. You mentioned Wolf talking about Drusy B. Yeah. When is he going to come back? When is he ready? He was asked about Lupe from Area Sports Network after the match, like, hey, what's Drusy's health looking like? And this is what Coach Wolf had to say. He says, he's certainly close to being able to play. We just have to see how he progresses this week. We are hopeful for the game versus Philadelphia. And then before I read this next one, there was a lot of conversation. There was about 10 people that hit me up. They're like, hey, do you think Drusy's going to play? Is he going to be on the bench? I think they were trying to get their price pick stuff ready. I'm not sure. But this is what Coach Wolf had to say on Drusy Dior. He says, he was never going to play in that game, but he asked me, can he be on the bench? Can he be around the guys? This is his team, and he wants to be around the players. So Drusy, you know, he said, hey, at least let me take a spot on the bench so I could be with the players, so I can hype them up, so I can give them words of wisdom. You know what I'm saying? Something like that.
You think?
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking, right?
You're hoping. Right?
That's what I'm hoping. Man. Yeah. But let's see. Okay, Bali, I want to get your take on that, on what Coach Wolf had to say on Drusy Dior post-match. I mean,
he wants to have him in the bench there to support the guys, cheer on the guys. You know, the captain that he is, the great captain that he is. He wants to be there for the guys. So back the guys. Be that second coach. Be that leader. Yeah, maybe he did. Maybe he just sat there and just wanted to vibe.
Okay. Yeah. All right. B, anything you want to add on this quote, mate?
Look, man. Drusy right now for this fan base, he's not being looked at. His comments on the lack of pressure, his comments on how it is in Argentina compared to how it is here, the vibe of the fan base, he pretty much put a target on his back. I mean, you're a talisman. You are our guy. You're that guy for us. And so there's eyes on him. He's essentially almost asking for criticism. So as much as those words kind of affected us, we definitely do need him. And I guess you could take that as a sign. I'm more optimistic, man. I think maybe he does want to be involved in the squad and kind of, you know, be a part of it, be a voice. So we just need him on the field, you know. It didn't matter whether he was on the bench or if he was not. We need him on the field, bro.
I mean, that's probably the easiest thing you could say, mate. I mean, that's the easiest thing anybody could say. Valencia has said it. Everybody that has been talking to the media post-match or pre-match has said it, like, hey, we're just waiting on Drusy because he's this. We're waiting on Drusy because he brings that, right?
And to be fair, I think Wolf is – I don't think we've seen this entire beginning of the season, these three games, I don't think we've seen what Wolf wants to show, what Wolf wants to play. I don't think we've seen that because of his injury, which is – it sucks because, like – let's say he get, you know, it's a hamstring injury, but let's say something is more serious, like
he could aggravate it further than what it is.
Then what? The game plan completely goes out the window. So
for sure,
I don't know. I think the way that we're set up, the way that we were in this game, I think was executed well. It just at the end, that tying goal stoppage time just kind of threw for everything out the window, man.
So now, before we talk set pieces, Nev, I want to save that for when we get into the goals because I think it ties in better with that. Let's talk about this lineup real quick because it definitely sent some question marks when it was dropped by the fan base, right? We had a prediction lineup go out. If you could try to pull that up, Nev, on the We're Austin TV, please. We had a prediction lineup come out, and some folks were saying, hey, you know, I don't know if this might be it. You know, it looks a little sus. But the prediction lineup that we came out with, Football Critic, you and I built this one. Obviously, the back four is pretty simple, easy way. Our prediction was Colmenich, Hedges, Cascante, Gallagher, Stuver at the back. That was easy. But in the midfield, we had Ring with Valencia as a double pivot in the back, Owen Wolf as cam, Finley on the left, Obreon on the right, and Rubio as the lone number nine striker. Now, Nev, if you can go to the SofaScore match ratings, we'll see what it actually was last night against St. Louis. Now, the back four was spot on, right? Valencia and Alex Ring were in that double pivot. Football Critic, we got that one also correct. But where things changed for us was Jader Obreon ended up playing on the left side, even though MLS even thought that Ethan Finley would be on that left side, and fans were criticizing it. Ethan Finley has played on the left before. Now, Jader was on the left. Diego Rubio was at the 10, guys, and Ethan Finley was on the right. Jazzy Zardes did a fantastic job last night going up and down the field. I mean, it looked like he was 25 again, dude. I mean, honestly, shout out to Mr. Jazzy Zardes for the work he did on and off the ball. That has to be noticed. But he was up top by himself. Rubio was accompanying him, right? But I want to get Football Critic's take on this lineup real quick, mate. What are your thoughts? What did you think when it finally dropped? I mean, you were in the press box. What was your feelings when you saw it?
Well, you know, it definitely surprised me because, like you said, we built that predicted lineup, and I wouldn't have guessed playing Sardis and Rubio at the same time. They have played before like that, and so that part is believable. It wasn't believable to me before because you're playing your only two strikers, mm-hmm. which are old, not fit, and won't last you, you wouldn't think they would last you 90 minutes. So that's a surprising part. However, I gotta say, they did a great, great job.
I agree.
I think Rubio complimented Sardis so much.
I agree.
Because Rubio could do the things that Sardis couldn't, and they are both so experienced in MLS that they play smart. One thing is that Sardis' body does not react to what his mind is asking to, but they play smart. And both of them playing opening spaces for other players on our roster was great.
Now, Wolf, post-match, he called Diego Rubio a monster. He said that he had a monstrous game, and I agree 100%. He was everywhere in that game. He was cramping up. That's what Wolf said at the end. Yeah. But I want to get you guys' takes on this lineup that was dropped, guys. Briefly, B, if you could give us your thoughts. You know, we're giving Rubio praise.
Yeah.
Cascante for sure, and Matt Hedges have to get their praise too. But Wolf kind of set out and put a perfect lineup out for this game.
Dude, I think he needs the praise too, bro.
I think we need to put him in there.
He needs the praise too. Look. Awesome. I mean, we didn't win the game, but obviously, the way that we started, the game plan, the setup, the lineup, the like FC said, the two number nine, your two number nines, questions, what? And then you saw that first half performance. Whoa.
You were like, okay.
Saw Rubio's performance. Whoa. You just praised Zarda. I think this plan of Wolf was just perfect.
It was near perfect.
It was near perfect.
Right. Almost, guys.
Near perfect. And till the last stages of the game.
Now let's transition on to the other. This is the other side of the coin episode. Yeah. Now, Bali, we hear B give his take. He wants to include Josh Wolf in that pool of players that are getting praise in this match. It wasn't all positive. We had the 3 points in the bag. We gave it up there in the last minute or so. But why shouldn't Wolf get praise for this match? I mean, because he did commit some very atrocious mistakes there at the end. I mean, fans were saying that he parked the bus too early.
Atrocious?
He did.
Atrocious.
He did.
That's a strong word.
He invited the pressure. You inviting that pressure was going to eventually cost us all 3 points. And to me,
it wasn't all three. We took one.
Okay, yeah, we took one. You know, but I mean, I'll give him the credit. It was a good lineup. You know, I think Rubio workhorse. And I think him benching Rigoni was a great choice also. You know, we saw a bit of pace on the wing, which we love. Ethan, Jader. But parking the bus early, going to that back five, inviting the pressure, it kind of ruined everything. And
Now, some words here from Josh Wolf real quick. Now, he says this. It's another game at home where you want to grab more points, but you got to stay positive. It's the third game of the season. Again, we're playing against some of the very best in the league. It's a step in the right direction. Getting guys healthy and fit would be nice going forward. He also says St. Louis brought in a couple guys. They loaded the line. We had to go to a back five in order to match it. We had to deal with their numbers in the box at that point. We ended with a back five, yes, in the end of the game. It's a bit messy. It's what soccer looks like late when a team is desperate for a goal. You're talking about that pressure that was invited by Austin FC.
I mean, you could say that he invited pressure, sure. But I think that the game plan was to withstand pressure, bro. I think that you saw how we played against Seattle. It was all pressure. We held on for the point. I think the game plan going into this game, a chunk of that was to withstand pressure. You could question the subs. Sure, you know, players and playing in positions where you're like, what was going on at the end, trying to salvage the point. But to me, the great performance of this game falls on Wolf.
Oof.
And I think that the last minute goal that was scored was just unfortunate, bro. The deflection to go into that.
It did go off.
There was pressure. I get it. The subs, you can question it. I understand. But if there's two minutes to go in the game, a deflected shot going in the back of the net, keeping you from essentially a perfect game plan for Wolf, for that to just completely shit on Wolf to say this is all, I don't think that's fair, bro. Okay. I don't think that's fair.
Now, Neff, I want to get your take on this, mate, because you've been somebody that's been very critical of Wolf in this offseason, this preseason. You know, you've featured on
maybe an agenda too.
You've featured on Top Flight multiple times, right, in this offseason, and fans have said that you've been very critical of Josh Wolf. So we hear B kind of defending Wolf just a bit, right? Now, to balance out the pod a bit, what was your take on Josh Wolf? Essentially, fans were saying that the 2 points drop was all on him.
Look, you and I, we watched the game together.
Yes.
And you asked me precisely this question before we left. And I'll answer it the same way. Josh Wolf deserves praise for this game.
Okay.
However, he also has to be accountable for where he messes up.
And for sure, 100%.
And that's where I think B is being unfair to the fans, trying to tell them that Wolf is not accountable.
Is he accountable for a deflected shot to go in the back of the net?
He's accountable for the players he allowed to be on the field at that point.
Sure, but the shot was deflected, mate.
It
was a shot that was going to go to Stuber's
hands. That's how the game is played, B.
Exactly.
That's how it is.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I do want to mention about the substitutions that obviously affected this lineup while we're on the topic was the Owen Wolf substitution, right?
Yes.
When he was brought in, I think Jordan mentioned this in the fan reactions, why not put him at the right back position where we've seen Owen before, right? Maybe he would have been a little bit more quicker to the punch. Also, Guilherme Biru has to be talked about in the second goal that St. Louis scored because he kind of looks like he let the player just waltz into the area. He kind of gave up on that. His defense was soft. I keep hearing that this guy's going to take Jan Komenic out whenever he's 100%. I'm still waiting to see Biru at 100%.
Oh, he will.
I didn't see 100% there in that play because he gave up on it. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to add on that, mate?
Oh, he will take a spot. I'm telling you. I promise you that. I stand on that.
I'm still waiting to see it.
I'm
still waiting to see it. Alex, anything you want to add on that, mate?
Yeah.
Get the mic a little closer. There you go.
So from the press box, right, I was sitting next to Phil West and Colby, and we were all just, we couldn't understand what happened as soon as those subs came on. And to me, it wasn't the subs. Like, it wasn't the players that got onto the field and that came off. It was the formation they took. I do think that Wolf deserves praise for this, how he managed this game. But I also agree with Neff that, it was his responsibility that 2 points dropped, because it didn't make sense to me that, yes, you put on Owen, you put on Brandon, that's fine. But why in the world would you make them instantly, because that's what it was, instantly put on a back line of five with Finley as a right back? I gave Owen praise when he played right back. Not that I want, I said it this many times, I don't want Owen as a full-time right back.
For sure.
But he was good enough to hold on to those, you know, late minute games, right? Why not put even Owen there, who's fresh? You got a Finley, a guy who ran the entire game tirelessly. He did great and was done. He was exhausted. Yeah. Why are you putting Finley at right back when he doesn't really mark defensively? When he's tired, instead of putting someone fresh. Because the problem is that St. Louis was all on us at those late minutes, and we were just trying to get the ball out of there. But if you don't follow your marks, you're going to get scored on.
Now, the substitutions that were in question, Rigoni came in for Javier Obregón at the 68. Biru was on for Kolmanich at the 68. Dani Pereira came on for Rubio at the 84th minute. Heinzeich, like Football Critic mentioned, on for John Gallagher at the 90th minute. And Owen Wolf, the substitution that everybody has been questioning, even as they were leaving Q2 Stadium, I had a guy tap me on the shoulder. He was like, it was that sub. Did you see him? The dude, he walked up on me, tapped me. He was like, it was that sub. And I was like, what the hell? But yeah, Owen Wolf came on for Zardes, minute 90 plus one. Now, Neff, I think you had a take. You have anything else you want to say on
Yes, it? Just real quick. The one thing that think, and the most impressive thing about this game, and that we're all forgetting, we're not even mentioning, is Josh Wolf abandoned his system, and he played with what he has. This is Josh Wolf we're talking about. Mm-hmm. He abandoned that system and played with what he has. That's the most impressive thing.
I don't know if he abandoned it. He just tweaked it.
I think he fully abandoned it, bro. I think that last season we were just destroying this guy for not even changing, no matter what.
Yes.
System is my system, my way. And now he switches it, abandons it. I agree with Neff. Stellar performance, great. And there's
moments away from massive praise. Away.
And then it's still gonna fall on Wolf. And that's the thing. Like on the Owen situation, bro, I think Owen gets a lot of heat, and I think that it's maybe 70-80% just because of his dad, bro. And I think that's very unfair, bro. Because this kid he's had man of the match performances for us.
Can we also say this though? He's gotten praise that he really doesn't deserve for the same reason also. Tom Bolger came out with the article where he put him as one of the wonder kids of the MLS. I mean, you're just skipping over Dani Pereira to give praise to Owen Wolf that he really doesn't deserve. He's a great player.
He's also younger than Danny.
He is younger than Danny. But, I mean, the things that were said in the article about Owen Wolf are very questionable, to say the least.
He was out there 18, 19 years old having man-of-the-match performances, mate. Playing in the MLS, bro. Sure, he's not going to have every game he's not going to play great. But I think he catches so much heat just because of his dad.
That's true. That is 100%.
And then on the there was a discussion. There was and this might be a hot take. People might come after me for this, but there was a discussion. He was brought up when Valentino was shipped off. Okay. He was brought up, and to me, I mean, this is a hot take, but I would rather have Owen Wolf than Valentino because Owen Wolf has done it. It's not, bro. He's done it. He's, like you said, Tom Bolger wrote an article, wonder kid. Yeah. He's had man-of-the-match performances in the MLS. He's been a part of a club, a vital part of a club that has reached to a conference finals. Valentino is a great player. And I wish, like I said, I wish he would have stayed.
For sure.
But we've yet to see that from him. So if you gave me the option, I would pick Owen. But the fact that he was brought up into the discussion, brought up into all this negativity because of his father, I think that's not fair, bro.
Bali, anything you want to add on that, mate?
Well, I think his father put him on the spot, you know, starting him when he doesn't deserve to be starting, you know. So blame his father for that, okay? Okay, blame his father for that, okay? Don't go out here trying. No, hold on. No, you hold on. Let me talk now.
For sure, go ahead.
Because, you know, he's over here. You know, blame his father for putting a spot on his back, you know. Blame his father because he's the reason why he puts him there when he doesn't deserve to start. He's the reason why there's a lot of players that deserve to start over him, and he still starts his son. So blame his dad.
Well, honestly, mate, one could even say, and this, I'm just going, just this is me speculating, right? One could even say that Valentino had to leave because his road, unfortunately, was not going to be clear because of players like Owen Wolf, because he gets the minutes, he gets that nod that sometimes it's unfair.
The international spot that we needed to even
throw in. Also the international spot. Also the international spot.
In Owen's defense, I want to say this. The minutes he gives us, the work that he gives us, it works hard week in and week out. He's very physical for his age. For the amount of money that he earns for Austin FC and what he counts against the salary cap, bargain.
Bargain.
And that's the positive side of a guy like Owen Wolf in MLS.
And my take on that is he gets so much heat just because of his dad, bro.
Alex, anything you want to add on Owen, mate, before we go on to the next topic?
Yeah, I just want to say that to me, Owen really is a great player. He really is. He's not a starter to me, not on this team.
Rotational. But
yes, definitely. And we are lucky to have a player like him. But to me, the worst thing about when I think of Owen, it bothers me is the fact that you look at Owen and I don't see anything, any special characteristics that are not lungs and legs. Because Owen is not that. You don't think of Owen as a cam, you know, that is that is super special attacking mid.
No.
You don't think of Owen as a super defensive attack, super defensive mid.
Mm-mm.
You don't think of Owen as a box to box that gives you
maybe a little,
But here's the thing: box to box in legs and lungs, like I said. But he's not doing enough work defensively or offensively for you to say that he's a speciality.
You look at the
And the thing is, to me, he needs to go somewhere that is where his dad is not his coach and develop in one position. Me personally, I like his work offensively, but maybe more to the sides, maybe more to the wings. But I don't see something of in Owen for me to say that his speciality. I want him to have it. I think he will have it. I don't know what his ceiling is. But right now, he's not that he's a wonder kid, but he's not that great for him to be starting.
And I think his age. I think he still has a lot to go. I agree with that take, but that's a great take. I think he still has a lot. His ceiling, like you said, we don't know where it's at. I think you're right. I think he needs to go somewhere where his dad is not the coach. He was being used almost as a fireman for Wolf. You know what I mean?
All
there's
around.
A fire left back. Boom. We need a midfield. Boom. We need a winger. Boom. You know, he's there. You look back at the last shot of the game versus our home opener, Minnesota. I mean, that goal's on him, bro. That goal is on him. Biro tapped it in, bro. But if you look back at that goal.
The play is him.
You see little small sparks of creativeness in this player. And I think all that gets overlooked because of his fault. I think some people come after him just because he's the son. But I, on top of all that, I do agree with what you said. I think he does need to go somewhere where his dad's not the coach.
Maybe like his brother Tyler, Atlanta. You know, yeah. Wolf isn't the coach there. But I think he was involved with the ATL for a bit. I don't know. But, all right, we spent enough time talking Mr. Owen Wolf, guys. We got to go on to some more events that happened in the St. Louis match. Now, I want to just real quick touch up on the highlights. If we can go in rapid fire motion on the goals, is how we like to do here on Top Flight when we talk about the goals that happened. Now, minute 14, we got Matt Hedges' header from a Jean Komenich corner kick. It was actually the corner kick was won by Ethan Finley. It was a play that was created by him and John Gallagher on that right-hand side. Ethan was kind of looking for the PK. Instead, he gets the corner kick, and what resulted was just as good as a penalty. Now, what happened, Jean Komenich takes it. Matt Hedges puts it into the back of net. Now, Bali, you and I got hype when this happened. What was your thoughts when the tower, Matt Hedges, put the ball into the back of the net?
Tower.
Mate? The tower.
What a goal. You know, I was excited. Great goal. Great set piece, great corner, and I'm excited.
It was nice.
Happy. I know you were happy.
I was happy. I was happy because Hedges for sure has been playing well the last two games, and I think that's something that a center back needs. I mean, when a center back scores a goal, bro, it's probably the biggest joy you think anybody could ever have because they don't get to score goals, man.
I agree.
They don't get to score goals like the forward. They don't get to score goals like the cam or the winger. So when a center back gets one, it's special.
Sounds like you play that position. 100%.
100%.
Oh, yeah, you did, right?
Yes. Now, okay, minute 49, Edouard Lewin, penalty goal. Alex Ring commits the foul. B,
Slabby.
Your thoughts on this? I mean, because it was ripe as soon as the second half started. We drew 1-1 because Ring committed this silly PK. We thought it was outside the box, but it was right on the edge, and the fake referee gave it as a penalty.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sums it up. I think it's just a silly mistake. You know, coming from Alex Ring, you wouldn't want to see those mistakes. But, yeah, that was not – we did not need that, especially coming out in second half, starting off. But – we responded quickly, bro.
100%. Now, we responded quickly just 2 minutes later, minute 51, Cascante's header from a throw-in play. Now, I think this is from the training ground. Now, we can get Football Critics thought on this one. I think it's a one from the training ground because Gallagher, now that Lima is no longer with us, he takes the role of that throw-in, right?
Oh.
He gets the ball, throws it to Cascante, who's a clear target man in any offensive throw-in that we have on that side of the field. Cascante just gets a little nice little head on it, right? It falls to Obreon, who very intelligently opens it up to Alex Ring, who makes up for his previous mistake in that penalty, puts the ball back into the area. The St. Louis defenders completely forget about the original target man, Julio Cascante, and he's by himself, acres of space. Burki couldn't do anything. He's falling inside the goal, trying to keep it out. The ball's in the back of the net. Burki's into the back of the net. And Cascante, the center back that he is, celebrates this goal like it's no tomorrow. But Alex, your thoughts from the press box, mate. What was going on up there when this went into the back of the net? I know you guys can't celebrate, so was it crickets or what?
No, yeah, definitely some gasps, maybe. No, but yeah, definitely it's interesting to see that because to me, and that's that that may be why the three of our goals this season have come from defenders.
Yep.
But the fact that we have someone like Julio and Hedges, who are so offensively important, are playing at the same time for us, is great. You know, it's great. For when you don't have Drewsy, when you don't have too much offensive creativeness, you've got those huge towers to capitalize on set pieces. And that was very, like, displayed last game.
The Twin Towers, mate.
Yeah.
Now, I called Matt the Hedges. Twin Towers. Now, hold on. Let me explain that. I called Matt Hedges the tower, but then, you know, Julio Cascante scored his goal, and they're two very tall guys. So I wanted to call them the Twin Towers, but my respect to the events that happened on September 11, 2001, mate.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I should call them the Twin Towers.
We're gonna have to work on that.
I think I'm going to have to work on that nickname. Respect, you know, but that's the thought that came into my mind. I'm sorry.
My take on that, bro, is because, like, If we're gonna play this style, if Wolf is gonna play this style without Drewsy, if we're gonna be this,
it won't be for long. We gotta note that.
I'm saying, but for this game, in particular, if we're gonna play this style, set pieces just became 3-4 times more important.
Yes.
In this situation, so we took advantage of that, and I'm hearing. Did you tell me that we got a new set piece coach?
Yes.
And
yes.
So to me, I think that's coming from the Cascante goal. I think came from the training ground, bro.
Training ground, 100%, bro. Now,
so yeah.
Now, Nev, you and I talked about this before the game. We were saying how set pieces have to be important for this team moving forward. We get a goal from the corner kick. We get a goal from a throw in that could be from the training ground. So I want to get your take on that. Then I want to ask Bali some stuff.
Yeah, see, you and I, when we previewed, when we talked about the preseason, we talked about changes in the club, right? And
for sure.
About the team starting 11 and whatnot. And I told you that the biggest change this team has had is that set piece coach. Because when you don't have a team that can attack proficiently and effectively in pretty much any other play, your best bet to win and score goals is going to be those set pieces.
That's brutal, though.
It's brutal. It's reality. It's reality. Yeah. That's what it is. It's the squad depth. It's the team that we have at the moment. But that's what it is.
Now, moving forward, minute 90 plus 3, because right at this point, Austin FC is up 2-1. Immediate response. Austin FC fans are flying high. But the pressure was there. The pressure was being invited. Josh Wolf makes some changes that we talked about earlier. Goes into a back five, right? And then just unlucky. Ethan Finley gets that deflection. Cascante's at that post. He can't do anything. Stuver is at full stretch. He can't do anything either. And it's 2-2 because Pompeu, Celio Pompeu scores with really the last kick of the game almost. Minute 90 plus 3. Now, Bali, this was a bit of a gut punch because we were already thinking of what we were going to say because we're walking to the Zebra Grade ready to get to work. And the match just changes on us super quick. And now we go from celebrating a potential 2-1 to not having to cope with a 2 points dropped at home. So just real quick, your thoughts on when the ball went into the back of the net.
Like you said, you know, we go from smiles to sad faces, you know, angry faces.
Too quick, though.
Yeah.
Too quick.
Yeah, too quick, man. And honestly, I could see it coming. Everyone saw it coming, honestly. Well,
I was even yelling on the group chat, Wolf Masterclass.
Yeah.
And then when that happened, everybody looked at me, and I was like,
And then the fan base, and then everyone just.
In the end, boys, it was 2-2. Austin FC, unfortunately, did drop those points. Now, there was some other things that happened, of course. It didn't make it onto the official highlight reel. But, you know, in the rewatch, you know, there's some things that you picked up. Minute 9, Zardes and Obreon lead a beautiful counterattack that we really didn't mention. But credit to Haddad, who I thought was on fire in that first half. He had a great performance. And Zardes was really distributing the ball well. One of the best games I've seen Zardes play in a while, even though he didn't score a goal. For him, it's about what he does off the ball also. We mentioned Finley earning that corner that led up to the Matt Hedges goal. There was some mistakes that Stuver committed also when he came out way off his line. John Gallagher was battling with the winger or the forward for St. Louis, and Stuver was way out of his box. The goal was open, but luckily they sailed it over the bar. And let's see. That's about it from the game that I have, boys, on my notes. Anything you guys want to add on before we go on to something else?
I mean, this is a lot better, bro. A lot better.
100%.
A lot better than what we've seen. So we got a big big test coming up in Philly. The game got postponed, you said?
Yeah.
But
The Seattle game got postponed.
Probably rain or
they
something.
They still got CONCACAF Champions Cup, too. So
we're definitely going to be the team that's more fresh in this game coming up.
They play Tuesday.
Well, they got postponed, so they play Tuesday. So, yeah, I see what you're saying. Now, Alex, you say you want some, you have something else to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that all the praise to Josh Wall for this setup for this game.
Hell yeah.
The plan. Okay.
Yeah. However, I do want to say it does look similar to what we did in Seattle. And this is not, I'm not going to take any credit from Josh, but I will say that St. Louis City did not pressure or attacked as much as Seattle. So I think that this worked.
I have a note on that. Go
this
ahead.
This worked because Seattle wasn't as effective on pressure as we expected them to be, because that's what Josh said on Thursday, mm-hmm. right? So that's why we found those spaces. I think the plan was to be ultra-defensive, but when we saw that St. Louis City wasn't going to pressure us that much, and when we saw that Rubio would open those spaces mm-hmm. with Sardis, and when we saw that Hader would run to take on those spaces, we saw the opportunities. We took them. To me, I'm taking that mentality of the team to say we're actually getting better, and we can create something out of nothing.
We're getting better.
I think so.
I agree. Mentality. But game wise, insert Drusy to this team, a team that defensively they're finally getting it together. Yeah. You insert Drusy, and the clock starts ticking again.
Well, I said
clockwise,
it.
Not counterclockwise.
We
too.
We build from this, man.
One of the biggest things that we saw was precisely Rubio and Sardis opening spaces. Mm-hmm. You give me Driussi on a wing, and his specialty is to go for those open spaces. Driussi would pop up out of nowhere into those spaces and score. So that plan could work with Driussi back. However, not every team is going to play like St. Louis did.
True.
So we may not be able to have those opportunities.
And we're also not going to play everybody like we played St. Louis. We're gonna change the plan. So some real quick stats. In three games, Austin has faced 62 shots, and 21 of those have been on target. Pray for Stuver's health.
Stuver's been going off.
Yeah, he has been.
We had this conversation, and maybe we could talk about it further in future pods or like the next Patreon pod that we do. But is Stuver a top 10 goalie in MLS? Is he top 5? Is Stuver top 5
top
in MLS?
Top 10, 100%.
Top 10, 100%.
Top 10, 100%.
From what we've seen this season, yes.
Is Stuver top 5 in MLS?
Top 5? Top 5, I don't know. Top 5 is pushing. Top 10, 100%.
Top 10 for sure.
Top 10, 100%.
Boys, you two, yes or no? Just say yes or no. Is Stuver top 5 in MLS?
No.
Neff?
No.
Does he crack the sixth man? Is he number
no,
six?
No, okay, no. Is he top 10?
Is he top 10?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Is Stuver top 20 La Liga?
I think so.
Why are y'all laughing?
Why are you laughing off camera?
These guys are laughing off camera. Be real. Yes.
They're not even asking.
Okay, moving on.
I'm going to tell you something, H.
No. You're going to take too long. No.
Cut the mic.
There's only 20 goalkeepers in La Liga. They're starting.
Okay. So he does make 20.
No, he'll be in second division.
Ah, okay. Which is not bad. Now, Josh Wolf has one win in 16 matches.
Oh, my God.
Last win was versus DC United in 2023. And then before that, it was against Sporting Kansas City in the summer of 2023. So we beat SKC in the summer. We went through Leagues Cup. We beat DC United. And then we still haven't won a game since.
Wow. That's insane.
Insane.
That's insane.
Anywhere else in the world, he's gone.
He's gone.
But it is MLS.
Austin FC. We love Josh.
What is what?
Welcome
to the MLS.
Welcome to the MLS.
Trust
the process.
From homie Jordan, he said on the fan reactions, we're in Josh Wolf's senior year.
Yeah. By the way, if you haven't checked it out, the fan reactions are out. Incredible right reactions. I think everybody dropped a really good take. Vanilla even went after Drusy in Spanish, mate. Oof. Now, we talked about some quotes, right, post-match from Josh Wolf. Now, just real quick, I'm going to read what Gallagher said post-match. He said, still chasing that feeling. We were in touching distance. Yeah, extremely disappointed and frustrated. We wanted to have that first win for the fans and still craving that feeling. I hope it's a kick in the ass for us and sends us in the right direction. And then Danny Pereira, he says, we have to learn how to close out games. We have 10 guys in the box, or 9 guys in the box, and a last-minute goal, which is insane. We shouldn't be conceding if we have 9 guys in the box. And then Stuver comments on the match. He says, it's heartbreaking. I think you see the personality of the players, and you see that the guys are willing to sacrifice everything they have right now. And he also took comments on the goal the ball didn't cross the line. He says, I don't think it was as close as people thought it was. She was on the line, but had to keep it out. It kept us in there for a little bit. Now, those are post-match quotes from the players. Another player that has been in question, I want to spend just 2 minutes on this, or 3 if we can, is the stuff that Drewsy said to the MLS reporter John Arnold about really the league, the fans, and whatnot. And Drewsy hasn't played for Austin FC this season, right? He's been out with the hamstring. He's been questionable. But he really caught a lot of us off guard with these quotes. Now, we'll get your reaction, B, first. We'll spend a couple minutes on it. Drewsy says, in Argentina, there's a lot of pressure during the entire week. People are very passionate. I never had any peace. Moments I could go out and spend time with my family. So here I found that peace, those moments with my family, and could enjoy things a little bit more. You know, he also says that right now he misses that because he can feel the good pressure if you don't produce on a weekend in Argentina. You know what's going to happen in Argentina. You played poorly, and you know that on TV, the journalists, the fans who are crazy about soccer are going to be there Monday. He also says that sometimes you miss it. He misses people saying, hey, you are doing things poorly. For a player, that is good, according to Drewsy. And he pretty much also said that in 2022, they did good and they messed up in 23 because they thought they could relax and were going to automatically qualify for the playoffs. I don't know where he got that from, because all year we were being fed the propaganda that they were taking it serious, that they were going to be going off, that they were going to be doing this and that. So to hear the captain come out and say this, it's a little bit of a red flag to me, right? But hopefully things aren't as it seems. It never is with the media and players. I heard a rumor of quotes that were not used for this article where Drewsy talks positive about the city and the fans. And I'm asking questions about this journalist, though. Why did he have those quotes that weren't used? Is that real? Is that a QC control rumor that was put out by maybe his PR team or something to try to level things out? I don't know. But B, your thoughts on what Drewsy had to say?
Dude, he essentially dissed the lack of pressure being put on this team. I mean, you talk about last year, that was not pressure. The toxicity, the vibe. I mean, that was not pressure. I mean, he said no. And on the last part, he said that last year he admitted something. I don't know if you caught that. He said that maybe they were relaxed a little bit.
Yep.
Who was relaxed? Was Wolf relaxed? Was the player relaxed? Who was relaxed? Because it seemed to me like the players were relaxed, bro.
Yep.
So all that, the Wolf stuff, you got a bunch of players who are, we're good, relaxed. I mean, it is the coach's job to motivate these guys. But this is not necessary, bro. You're calling, let's call it how it is. He's calling out the fans.
I want to say this, too, B. I don't know if a lot of people caught this, but the journalist that dropped this article is John Arnold. This guy worked with FC Dallas or reported on FC Dallas for years. Could this have been a piece control to mess up the Austin FC fan base?
Maybe, but
from an FC Dallas side.
Maybe, but the words are concrete there, bro.
Yes, yes. Those words came out. Yes, 100%. 100%.
Look, man, in Argentina and Mexico, the pressures. There's cars get caught on fire. People actually die, bro.
Yes.
Like this type of pressure. You're essentially saying, this is nothing. Like, you know.
Essentially,
and to be real, he's right, bro. He's right, bro. We look. The league, Argentina, it reflects the culture in those towns, in the cities of Argentina, in the cities of Brazil, in the cities of Mexico, the vibe, the culture, it comes from the culture of the city. We're in the United States, where the culture that we want to provide is Austin. It's Austin. It's the culture. If I don't see this team, I don't see other teams around the league growing to a point where we're flipping cards and turning them on fire, I don't think we'll get there. It's just part of the league. So in a way, he's right, but you don't need to come out and say this because the fans are essentially, he's asking for it, bro.
Yes, and that's one thing I wanted to mention, Bali. I want to get your take on this.
When
the article was posted and whenever We Are TV came out with the graphics of what was said, and it was word for word. We don't change words. We don't do anything. What's posted, we pretty much copy and paste it just with our graphic on it and whatnot so the Austin FC fans can know, right? And this is Drewsy's words, right? But the fan reaction after this was like, oh, really? Oh, really? That's pretty much what the fans were saying. I mean, there was fans saying, we're going to post his address. And I was like, no, chill out. Chill out. You know what I'm saying? Chill out.
He wants pressure, bro.
Yes.
What kind of reaction you think he's... Bro, you think about it. What kind of reaction you think
exactly.
You're
gonna get? Now, I want to say this, right? I don't mind if a player is here taking the MLS as a maybe vacation or taking it as a lighter than what those other leagues are. But at least kill yourself on the field. At least leave everything on the pitch. Give us a competitive team, right? But because there has been questionable things about this club and some of these players where it feels like lately this club is just a brand. And lately it feels like some of these players just have their own agenda waiting for their contract to run out so they can leave soon.
Be real though, H, bro. Exactly. Let's say we play Philly next week at home. Let's say they slap us around 3-1. That next day, he can go to Domain.
Oh, 100%.
Walk around Domain 100%. And 100%. Be flooded with love.
100%. But flooded that, but shouldn't that be life? Shouldn't that be how life should be, bro? Why the violence? Why the hate? Not have a good coexisting outside the pitch while you kill yourself on the field week in and week out? The same way you would do if you were playing for River, Boca, Fluminense, Flamengo, Barcelona, Real Madrid.
Es el fútbol, pa. Es el fútbol. And he's saying he misses it, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Do it here. We're giving you six million a year.
It's not enough.
The stadium is yours. The team is yours. We're building the culture around you, and you just did that to the fan base.
Yeah, that was not necessary, bro. Especially Bali, who's the guy the pressure, yes. The Bali's army.
We have
there
to hear
is
from,
no pressure, bro.
We have to hear from you.
What's
Bali?
Going on?
Because this is how I took it. I took it as him saying Bali's army is no pressure at all.
That's how I took it too.
I tweeted about it. You know. There's pressure, you know. The guy's a crybaby, you know. and the DMs, you know. I won't speak on it because I'm a man, you know. Whatever said in the DMs, I'm not gonna speak on it. You know what you said, and I know what I said. So we'll leave it at that. But there's pressure, you know. He'll block me. I mean, he might unblock me, but I don't care. I could care less. He said what he said, man. He's here. He's collecting his check. Well, he's getting paid how much? $5 million.
More than that.
You think he's leaving? No. He feels good here. He lives nice. He got a Rari. He got a Rolls Royce. He got a Lambo truck. He got a Benz. He got a AMG. You think he cares?
He has
He's
a team.
Chilling.
He has
He's
a team. This team is
He's
his.
He's chilling. And that wasn't just a shock to the fan base, to also all that friendly media, all that media, the Austin FC media, all that friendly media that's out there. But you have people asking, have you had a breakfast taco? Are you, like, what kind of question is that?
They're just trying to break
question,
the ice.
What kind of question is that?
Yes.
Consider your career if that's the question that you're asking. I'm sorry. It has to be said.
They're trying to break
the
ice.
He's not only calling the fan base out. He's also calling the media out.
That is true,
because you also have to bring on the pressure. Because you know why? Yeah. You're in that press box. I'm not in that press box.
Facts, bro.
But you're in that press box.
The thing
so this
is
also
though,
for you.
The thing is though that is true. But I'm gonna defend our local media a bit. There's been times when Drewsy was being pressured by the media, and Drewsy's response to them was, "Why is everybody talking so much about it? ¿Por qué tanto biri biri?" So he himself doesn't like to take some of those hard questions from our media when they dished it out. And something that our media, a big problem that they face, even from Coach Josh Wolf, is the fact that you got to give them questions that they'll even answer to you, because sometimes they get on their high horse, respectfully to anybody, any player or coach listening to this. Sometimes we've seen it in press conferences. This is not something that I make up. They've gotten on their high horse, and they don't want to answer some questions that are thrown at them because they feel like they don't need to answer them. And because it's MLS, they won't get the pressure to answer those questions. So that's why some of the questions that are shaped by the media are and end up being softball questions. Alex, I mean, is there any truth to that? Bali is right, but there's also some truth to what I'm saying.
Yes, I mean, I cannot understand how you're supposed to ask good, you know, harsh questions when Josh can come in and say yes, no. You know,
exactly.
That's a whole answer.
Exactly.
So it's hard. You, as a journalist, I understand that you do have to tweak your questions in a way that would engage the coach, would engage the players.
Exactly.
However, I don't think that's how it should be either from journalists or from players and coach. Because at the end of the day, this is like, to me, answering those questions, it's part of the coach's job, it's part of the player's job, and you're just not doing it right.
No,
Bali's right.
But yeah, that's
bro.
That's
Xavi literally he's quit because he said the media is too bad. That was like one of the main reasons why Xavi's leaving Barcelona.
Yes,
it's because he's tired of the media. He wants like he
media,
doesn't miss
bro,
that.
The media will eat you alive.
Exactly. So I think to Bali's point, I think he has is right. But it also it's just the roots of the culture of the city. But you're not gonna get that here, bro. We're not gonna be flipping cars. It's just not gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen. Now, last thing on the topic, Alex.
Yeah, just to say that there's a middle ground here, because as much as Josh and players may not answer questions, there are also some questions that should not be answered. Right.
For sure. I agree. But so that's where he's right. That's where Bali is
right.
Yeah,
that's where Bali is right. And this is not just on a breakfast taco question. This is also on a maybe good question, but not put out in a good way.
For sure.
Maybe so yeah, I understand. This happens a lot, especially in Colombia. Journalists put on their fan jerseys when asking questions.
You cannot do that. No, you can't.
So they ask questions mad at the coach, and you know, but that shouldn't happen. You should be, you know, neutral when asking your questions. So if you go mad at someone, even though it might be a good question, but you go mad at someone attacking them, going at their throat, yeah, I wouldn't want to ask your question to answer your question.
For sure. And I think that's where Wolf and guys like Jorge have clashed heads sometimes this previous year.
Yeah.
Now, guys, just real quick, something we said we were going to mention on this podcast before we get into maybe some Arsenal talk before we end the pod here tonight. There was a Wolf Out banner that didn't make it into the stadium, but there was a photo that's been circulating on social media. Looks like it made it to Hop Squad, but I think that they were advised to not take it to the stadium, or it would not be let inside, or might have been confiscated. I heard that a lot of work went into this banner. It's very, very long in length. It's pretty big. You would see it on national television if it was inside that stadium. And it reads Wolf Out. Now, for some of the reasons that we were just talking about right now, about Josh Wolf being short with the media based on the questions that they were asking, his attitude that fans have said that they don't like from Josh Wolf, and his coaching abilities also contributed to this. But just real quick, you know, B, where do you stand on this topic with the Wolf Out banner? It's getting closer and closer to making it an appearance at Q2.
Look, we've been covering this team since year one. It's been brewing, and we're at this level, bro. If this season is any resemblance to last, it's going to keep growing and keep brewing. It's going to keep going. I don't know how far it goes. He does have – Wolf has this year and next year. But on the whole Wolf Out thing, I mean, look, once you're Wolf Out, there's nothing – I don't think there's nothing he could do unless win the MLS Cup. There's nothing – this performance ain't going to change nobody's mind. Even though this – had we held on for that point, it would have fallen on Wolf – I don't think you can change these people's mind. Once they're Wolf Out, it's it. They're not going to stop until he's out.
There are some good points with the Wolf Out crowd, though.
There are
stats that back their claims now.
I mean, but there's also some good points against it. People were coming after him. He's the reason why Diego left. Turns out, maybe not true. Yusi coming out saying, maybe last year we were a little relaxed. Who was relaxed? The players were relaxed? Because if that's so, then why does that fall on Wolf? So, the recruitment. We're all messing around. We don't have enough players. We brought in players. Who's this guy? Whatever. Also not a Wolf.
Question for you, B.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the fans sounded the alarm too early this season already? Because you edit fan reactions, so you might see more than anybody of us. Were the alarms sounded too early this season, or is it just? Because this
bro,
has been brewing, like you said.
Games in.
It's brewing.
We're three games in, bro. Insanely early. But, like I said, this doesn't just start from this season, bro. This has been brewing from last season.
For sure.
So, it's just, you know, I'm not going to, last season was horrendous. But, I hate to say it like this, but I'm going to just do it anyways. Wolf is not going to go.
He's going to see the end of his contract.
He's going to see the end of his contract. Mm-hmm. You could make your banners. And look, this is going
to
come.
We'll get to Bali. We'll get to
Bali.
And
I don't want people to think that I'm just coming out and taking shots at the Wolf Out. Dude, I love the. Drewcy coming out saying there's no pressure. I'm down to show pressure.
For sure.
Do that. I'm not. It is what it is, but I'm thinking of it in a different route. You see us pinching pennies. You see us selling Valentino Oll for however much money. You see us buying bargain players.
Rodo cooking.
He's gathering up his coins. All those coins are going to go to firing Wolf. Now what? We can't just fire Wolf. There's going to be some financials. I don't know exactly the details on it. But we can't just. We got this little pot of money that we're looking to invest next season. We can't just spend that on getting rid of Wolf. He's not going anywhere. But I'm not going to shit on the Wolf Out movement. Do your thing. Apply pressure. Apparently, Juicy said we don't apply pressure, so do your thing.
Now, Bali, react to this tweet real quick, please. This is from at Mr. J Torres. Shout out to my G. It says, I see some are bothered by the Wolf Out banner. You're exactly what Juicy was talking about. Soft. We have to hold them accountable. y'all treat this like it's the Round Rock Express. Casual Sunday in the park mentality. Well, hashtag Wolf out.
I'm not bothered by it, by the way. I don't want, look, okay, people are going to come at me, but I'm not bothered by it. I get it. I'm like, oh, okay. But I'm thinking about it realistically. Come for on, sure. He's not going to go, bro.
Bali.
Yeah, it's going to happen this season.
He's leaving.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen this season. And the fans had enough. The fans had enough. And I think that tweet is spot on. Fans had enough with Josh Wolf, and he could say there's no pressure, there's pressure.
Drewsy saying that.
You know, there's pressure. And also Josh said that, you know, he said, I don't feel pressure, you know, there's no pressure.
Jorge did ask him today if there's any pressure of only having one win in the last X amount of months, and Wolf kind of brushed it off.
Yeah, he doesn't care, but he knows that there's pressure. Man, I'm Wolf out, and I'll stand on it, and I won't switch up. And he has to go this season. There's no if, there's no buts. He has to go. We're hoping for a great season. We're hoping for playoffs. We're hoping for something. But the reality is that we're going to struggle. And he has to go. And I give him this season. And I ask for the fan base to unite, because it would only change if we all unite together.
Oof. That's going to be interesting. See if it happens, mate. We'll see. Now,
we'll see.
Fans will be maybe on B's side. Fans will also probably be on Bali's side. I know that the Wolf Out movement is growing every day. There's probably one more person that gets added into the Bali's army, either on the Discord channel or on the Los Verdes Slack. You know, they got a Wolf Out channel there themselves. So we'll see what happens with the future of this team. We are wooden spoon contenders, according to the MLS experts. Maybe those predictions weren't too far off. But, hey, it's early in the season. Like B said, alarm sounded way too early. So there's still time for this ship to turn around, right? There's still time. Right. Hopefully this Titanic ship can avoid the iceberg. But if they do hit the iceberg, then Wolf unfortunately does have to go, mate. Yeah. Now, gentlemen, anything else you want to add on the Austin FC segment?
I have something I want to say.
For sure. Go ahead, mate.
Why would you as a fan be OK with putting up with this type of coaching for 4 years? Why? Just because he won't leave? That sounds very soft. Finals, so?
Yeah, we crumbled in the conference finals.
So he got us there.
Yeah, but we crumbled.
So there, it's Wolf, but not the players. You gotta pick. It's not about picking sides. It's about seeing the overall picture. And there's a lot of truth about Wolf being responsible for that. It's also a lot of truth that Rigoni came and messed that team up. And who put Rigoni on
Don't
the
bring
field?
Don't Rigoni, because I'm gonna go off.
That's
bro.
Another yeah, conversation.
That's another conversation.
We're gonna take an hour.
But
talking
the
about
ultimate
Rigoni,
responsible of putting Rigoni on the field was Wolf.
There's, bro, he's yeah. a DP.
It doesn't matter. This is football, and you play
matter.
With your best
and
players.
It does matter.
And Nev's spot
and
on.
You can't just allow him to have power like that.
And Nev's spot on because there's one man standing still here. You know, Sean Rubio is not here anymore. Bye. Claudio Reyna is not here anymore. Bye. Josh Wolf, why are you still here?
He's got a contract.
You are the reason why these players came here.
He's got a contract.
Tarek, Rigoni, all these clowns that are here, that have been here, that just collected checks. Why are they here? You're one of the reasons why they're here. Why they were here and they collected that check. So you have to leave. Simple.
Oof. All right, boys. I guess that closes it out for the Austin FC segment. There'll be more conversations for sure on Austin as the week goes by on Twitter or whatnot. And all that jazz. Now,
I might get some heat from the Wolf stuff, bro.
Oof, it is what it is, bros.
And it's gonna, man, oh man. Oh.
Calma. Long season coming up, right?
Long season. A lot of stress, too.
Before we do get out of here, I just want to touch up on Arsenal success, Bali.
Oh, yeah, the best team in the world.
The fans haven't heard from you in a long time, especially on the Europe side of things. Of course. If you can give us an update on how you're feeling as a gunner. They're sitting in top of the league right now.
Amazing.
5 games played, 5 matches won. They're scoring goals like it's nothing right now. Arsenal really looking great. But can they finish it off?
I pray that we can. It's going to be tough. It won't be easy. But I love it right now. Right now we're looking great. We're looking amazing.
Today's results helped you a lot, bro.
A lot.
Couldn't have gone better.
Yeah, it couldn't have gone better. You know, we have a big game coming up, Champions League, which will be tough for us. But we're coming. I think we'll pull through, and I can't wait, man. Hopefully, I pray that we win the league.
What are you gonna do if Arsenal wins the league? What are you gonna do?
Oh my God, bro! Could you imagine?
You've never lived.
I've never. Ah, man.
They've never won a league in your lifetime. right?
I don't know.
Oh, they have?
The Invincibles.
When was that? What year was that?
2005.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but we won the league before. Earlier. We never won the Champions League.
You've been to a final, though.
Yeah.
You've been to a final. Well, okay. So,
If we win the league, I think I would call for a month break, if that's okay with you.
A month?
That's a long time, bro. You could take a week, bro. Yeah. Come on.
Come on, bro.
This guy, dude.
We'll throw a party.
Maybe, though. Think about it. Think about it for a second. A month might be okay, bro. It's just 4 weeks.
Bro, keep it as simple as this.
That's four Saturdays.
Arsenal win the rest of the games left. They're champions.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's crazy.
There's 10 games left.
What if we win the Champions League?
Hey, come down. Y'all are down.
Check this out.
Hey, I'll apologize to Wolf. I'll record a video apologizing to Wolf, saying I'm sorry.
I
wouldn't do that.
I think Arsenal should win the league, attract better players next year because they just won the league, and then shoot for the champions. It's too early for them.
Oh, we have talent. We already have talent. What are you talking about?
Madrid is going to win this one. Madrid is going to win the Champions League. Now, Neff has the table. Arsenal in first, Liverpool in second, City in third. They tied today.
Now people all around the world, this is what you call a proper league, a proper title race, league, the best league in the world.
What a race, bro.
The best league in the world. This is what you call.
64, 64, 63, and then 55.
1 point separating the three teams.
Yeah, okay, but look at the gap from third to fourth. That's almost 10 points.
It is pretty bad.
Every other league is wrapped up, bro. Bayern Leverkusen's got it. PSG won it 3 weeks into the season.
Credit to Villa.
Villa's doing wonders.
United and Tottenham duking it out for that fifth spot there. And West Ham on the tail, bro. Yeah. West Ham on the tail. Chelsea 11th, bro. Real quick update.
Chelsea 11th.
We got Newcastle. By the time you listen to this, probably the game's already over. But we got Newcastle next. I mean,
that's a 4-point difference between y'all. You got to beat them.
We were a couple minutes away from penalties for a cup, so we lost to Liverpool. We still in the FA Cup. We'll see, man. We'll see.
Chelsea closer to the bottom than to the top right now.
It's insane. That's insane, crazy.
£1 billion spent.
£1 billion.
Can't say much, bro.
Hey, but shout out Todd Boehly. He has Chelsea in a great spot, and I hope he stays there for years to come.
He has Chelsea in a great spot.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I hope he stays there for years to come. Xavi, quédate. Todd Boehly, quédate.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Todd Boehly, quédate.
Todd Boehly, quédate.
Nef, if you could please pull up the La Liga standings, please. We're going to mention La Liga just real quick.
La Liga.
What?
Hey, Chivas America, too?
Oh, bro. Chivas America.
Well, Nef gets that ready, bro.
What's going on?
Okay, look. First of all, the Liga MX channel in the Discord.
Shout out Sama.
Heavy Chivas.
Vibe. What's going on?
We got Sama, Carlos, me. Shout out to my G Matt. He's Vanilla. A Chivas fan. Vanilla. It's heavy dominated by Chivas. But we got Adam. Football Critic is an America sympathizer, although he says he's a Pachuca fan.
Man.
And then you got B in there. But
you just got Nev Juarez fan.
Smack.
Santos.
But America slapping Chivas. America slapping Chivas bad, bro.
Bad, bro. Not only America. Everybody slapping Chivas, bro. Cruz Azul slapping Chivas, bro.
Cruz Azul, bro. And then they lose to Leon last night, 2-1.
And it's Chicha's return.
Gago out.
And then
Santos.
Gago out.
No, and then there were fans booing Cade Cowell.
No, bro.
They're stars.
Bro, not even that way.
Cade.
Not even that way. Chivas fans, bro. No different than Valencia fans. No different than Atleti fans. Check this out. I don't know if you guys know this.
What's going on?
But there is reported racial abuse from Chivas fans to Julián Quiñones of América.
Oh.
Similar to what Vini has been going through, there has been rumors of a video circulating of Chivas fans racially abusing Quiñones.
Disgusting club with disgusting fan base.
I'm sick. When I found that out,
point
I got
deduction,
sick,
to be honest. Wow. Point deduction, bro. We should be thinking about a point deduction, bro.
Point deduction?
That's borderline.
At least 10.
No, fines 100%. Play at least 2 or 3 games without fans.
That's
100%.
Unfortunate, bro. That's unfortunate that part. It's in the game, bro. I mean,
anyways, shout out Sama. Gago out. Get him out.
Already? For real?
Get him out, bro. He doesn't know the league, bro. The Liga, La Liga, we have it here in front of me. Shout out to Nev for giving us the table.
Oh, yeah, got a little gap going on now. Real Madrid, okay.
Real Madrid, they keep on winning. Seven-point gap.
7 points,
Nev, Madrid is in first place. How many points they got? 69?
Yes.
69 and counting. Girona, second place. Football Critics team with, what is that, 62?
62.
Your thoughts, Neff, on their position right now?
Well,
it's
think
in the bag.
I mean, look, like B has said, it's a vibe. It's a vibe in La Liga right now.
We have probably
an amazing squad for the next 10, 15 years if it all goes well.
And Mbappe coming up?
And Mbappe too?
That.
No?
We'll have to wait on that. I don't really care for Mbappe, like I've said previously. But in that sense, I told Football Critic, I told you, Girona, it's a team that had to be tested against the best. And they did well, but they just didn't have the squad that the injuries killed them. And this is what happens, though. We'll see. I hope they can actually play in Champions League and prove something there.
I got a take on Girona, bro. And I said this from the beginning of this season, Wade. They're going to be a team to watch in the next decade, bro.
So y'all think – this is going to be Girona now? Like
this is the new city.
You guys have to realize that a lot of those players, it's going to be like Ajax and Champions League. Team's going to get dismantled.
Yeah,
and already started with City taking
it right. City already took Sabino.
A city club, yes. A city group.
Yes, and City's already taking players.
Yeah, City's already taking players.
Okay, question. What city group team that is, there's what, like eight of them now?
Probably more.
How many of them have not been champions in their league where they're at?
Most of them.
Most of them, bro. So why would Girona be any? Why would they not be any different in the next decade?
Maybe not right now.
In the next decade is what I'm saying.
Well, maybe not right now.
Because you gotta take in mind that
you have an agenda. You have an agenda.
Yes, the agenda to open your eyes, Hernan. You have to realize City Group. A lot of the players that they have never even played for their parent club, as is the story of Savinho. There's a lot of movement around there. And those players are not necessarily going to ever even play for City. And they're going to have to leave Girona because they want something better. That's just the truth.
Telling someone they have an agenda is wild, bro. We said that like a couple of times on this pod joke. We don't have to chill with that, bro. That's some crazy allocation.
Well, you know what? I'll take this. I'm sorry you do not have an agenda, but Wolf's definitely paying you something.
That's worse. I'm not getting paid by nobody.
What's going on here?
I've never seen someone defend Wolf.
I'm not defending.
B only gets his sponsorship.
Bro, it's facts. Blue Chew. This falls on Wolf. The performance is on Wolf.
Where's my money at? You know, where's Mali's money at?
FIFA fair play. FIFA fair play regulations are starting to come in. MLS roster rules too.
How you think we got the stew?
Nah, I'm just playing.
We're lying to each other now.
Back to Girona, mate.
Hold on.
Back to Girona. Real Madrid got lucky that they crumbled in the last part of the season, bro.
I agree that we got lucky just because we heavily outplayed them in any scenario that you look at.
They did beat them twice.
But it seems like Girona started focusing more on top four than even competing.
And that's
fine because
at this point in the season, that should be their objective.
Their championship, essentially.
Yeah. Before we close the part, can you pull up the Champions League bracket real quick, if that's possible?
Game's coming up. Arsenal's playing.
Arsenal's
playing. Porto.
Madrid, City, PSG, Bayern are through. Juggernauts.
I want Madrid.
I saw Arsenal fans on social media saying that Madrid is nowhere compared to the Arsenal right now.
I want Madrid next.
That's very on the surface, bro.
I'll tell you this. The football that Arsenal are playing are way. I think it's more attractive than Madrid.
Bonito, hermoso.
Madrid against Leipzig. I was watching the game. I sent it on the group chat. I was like, when's the last time that Madrid go at teams? Lace up the gloves and let's get it.
The funny thing is that you don't win games by doing that. You win that by scoring goals. And a lot of that has been proven. City.
You can click that out.
I'll show respect.
Click that page out.
Because it's too much. Too much on my...
Just go to Google next time.
I'll show respect. I show respect when it's due.
No, don't even go to that way. Click that out way. Right here. I got it here.
I respect Madrid. I think that if we face them, that's going to be the hardest competition. But you know what? We want the hard competition.
If you want to win the Champions League, you have to face up. We want you next, Papa.
Vamos. We want you next. And I want the best. I want the best now. Not later. Ahorita. Acáimela ahorita,
Papa. The beauty of this is Bali saying Real Madrid's the best.
Yeah, Real Madrid is the best.
City's the best.
Honestly, this season, I see City I can see little flaw. I can see them struggling a little bit. They're not the same city. Well,
Arsenal still has to get through Porto.
Yeah, they're down.
We still need to go to Porto. But when we beat Porto, I want Madrid.
So far, Bayern is through.
Bayern.
PSG is through.
PSG, Madrid.
Man City is through. Surprise, surprise. And Madrid. So you got Bayern, Madrid, PSG, and City. Four juggernauts. Yeah. On the other side, still fighting for a spot, Arsenal, Porto, Dortmund, PSV, Atleti, Inter, and Barca, Napoli.
It sucks so bad that I'm not in this conversation.
I want it. You know, I'm excited. I want it.
This is Real Madrid. I think Real Madrid is going to get another new patch.
You think so?
I think it's going to be. Jude.
Where the finals are?
Where?
In London.
You as a Madrid fan, okay, let's see. Who would you want in the final? I mean, who do you think
I don't
that
care
will
who
be in
I get in the final. I know we're winning.
You as a Madrid fan. You're in the Champions League.
That's
the
we're
gonna
who
see
do you think is going to be in the, who do you think will be the final?
We're going to see, I think, I mean, they're still, you know, they draw
no,
teams
no,
out.
No, no, dime ahorita.
I want City.
I want my rematch. Last year you wanted them, and you got them.
You want rematch.
I did.
You
got them, bro.
They also got us the year before that.
I want them again.
UNEF, you want City too?
I don't care who we get. It doesn't matter to me because at the end of the day, I know who's going to win that game.
Hey, everybody, though, if you ever watch a game in the future, next year with Neff, Mbappe, when he joins the team, remind him every week when he watches the game that he said he would not celebrate a goal scored by Mbappe in a Real Madrid kit.
I believe it.
When Mbappe scores for Real Madrid, if Neff celebrates and you're with him, let me know if I'm not there. Please.
knowing Neff, I believe it.
I believe it, Neff.
You see Neff watch Madrid, it's like he's
That's
watching.
That's how you feel?
I don't know. I didn't know how to describe
this
it.
This is a guy that chose Hop Squad as the headquarters of the Austin Peña because they went on an insane Champions League run that year when there would be City, when they beat
Chelsea.
And
I remember that.
That
was a crazy year.
And what?
I don't know, bro.
What do you say?
I'm not in the conversation.
Well, anyways,
bro.
Neff chose it because he thought it was lucky. Yeah. Okay, it's been pretty lucky to you.
To be fair, though, Neff, I'm going to say some real shit right here. Your love for Madrid is
borderline obsession.
It's almost insane. It's almost insane.
Look what he's wearing.
Bro, when you were watching the game, I was this is not real.
If Arsenal do, you know, win the Champions League, then you know Hop will be Arsene Gunnar's headquarters, you know. And I'll say it right here.
Ooh.
Bro, this is a guy that we were at Q2 last year or the year before. And he was watching El Clásico at Q2 while Austin FC was playing. And he was mad.
Remember when he was mad, bro?
He was mad. I was like, Neff, we're watching Austin.
True love. He was just on his phone, bro. True love.
You wouldn't watch Messi's debut with Miami, though. We were watching at the Q2, remember?
Sometimes Neff does get, he kind of crosses the line sometimes.
Hey, either way, I love you, Neff. I love you, FC.
You my boy.
Y'all stepped up and stepped in. Well, me and Bali were away, and I swear I really appreciate y'all.
Man. We gave the fans a long episode today.
Yeah, they deserve it, man. They definitely deserve it.
Appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all. The commissary, all that stuff y'all sent me for.
Hey, whoa! Cut that part out. The commissary.
Nah, bro.
But anyway, before we end the episode, rest in peace to Mr. Akira Toriyama, the Dragon Ball Z creator, bro.
Yeah. RIP. I'm not a.
I have one of my personal items from a personal collection, bro. The Funko Pop. It's a rare item. It's $14.30.
Goku. How much is that worth right now?
I think it's like a good $20,000.
What?
I think it's a good $20,000.
$20,000? No way, for real.
I have to sell that, my boy.
I think this is a good twenty thousand right now.
We
have to
sell that, my boy.
Honestly, if somebody wants to give me $15,000, since I got a baby now, I might listen to offers, but I'm not letting it go for anything less than 15 racks right now.
I'm gonna have to look that up.
And now that he has passed away, this might have gone up to $25,000, but I need to check with the estimators that I last spoke with.
We're gonna have to sell that, my boy.
Wow. So wow. Goku with wings. Rest in peace, Mr. Akira Toriyama.
Rest in peace.
Really, really sick piece. So we'll see.
This episode is dedicated to him.
Yeah, dude. Dragon Ball Z changed my life, bro.
It paved
the way for anime in general, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't watch anime when you?
Yeah, not. I was.
What'd you watch?
What's Power Rangers, Pokemon.
That's it for tonight, brother.
Cut the episode.
What?